This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Christine Wong, and you're listening to Her Vantage, the show about women of influence and leadership. On the line with me is Joelle Pang, a Singaporean with 12 years of experience in technology startups in e-commerce, recruitment, mobile, and on-demand spaces. Now she is the General Manager for Malaysia and the Regional Business Development Director of Fast Jobs, and we'll be talking about her entrepreneurial journey and also some advice that she has for fellow business owners, especially in the light of the past few months. So thank you very much for speaking to me today, Joelle.
You're welcome, Christine.
So before we talk about Fast Jobs, let's delve a little bit into your background. How did you get started in the tech industry?
That's a great question, Christine. So I actually started off in the corporate sector. And in my very first job, I ran smack into the 2008 subprime crisis. So that was actually when my interest for entrepreneurship really came about. And it started off as a side hustle. Then I took it from there because back then I was running what you will see as the fashion e-commerce platform of today, back then known as Blogshops. So from there, I started getting really, really interested in knowing that, you know, you could actually start something on the side, and we all in us lies this power to create. And I would say that the 12-year journey has seen me evolving that concept of, you know, the power to create into one where, you know, if we do have a power to create, then let's create it for contribution to community. So that has been my journey in a nutshell.
Wow, that's so interesting, that jump into entrepreneurship, and also the fact that it came about so organically for you. I think a lot of people become entrepreneurs in a moment of transition or in a moment of trouble or survival, but you just took a natural interest in it, I suppose.
That's right.
Right. You mentioned that you were kind of smack bang in the middle of a crisis when you became an entrepreneur. And obviously, this current time is a crisis for the world and also for a lot of entrepreneurs out there as well. How have you been dealing over the past few months?
So just to share an interesting story about myself as well. So you're right to say that I'm Singaporean. So while, you know, my life and my work has been based in Malaysia, I've actually spent the last 4 months now locking down and also spending this past couple of months in Singapore. So I'll say that definitely there has been a lot of disruptions to life as we know it. But at the same time as well, so I actually remember this regional conference call that I hopped on with Sheryl Sandberg, who's also the founder of the Lean In movement. So as a Lean In regional leader, I had the opportunity to tune into that. And she actually brought up this concept, which really struck a chord with me, is that, you know, I'm sure you've heard of this term called the post-traumatic syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually used the term and said, you know, in traumatic moments, there's also the concept of post-traumatic growth. And that inspired me a lot because I think everyone, like the world is hurting. People around the world are going through their own individual as well as collective pain and challenges. And I think that it is also up to us to see how we ourselves want to be capturing the opportunities that are still present in this very challenging time. And also then out of our own abundance, how do we also help others in the community or people around us that we know to also lift themselves up during this very difficult period of time.
Right. And you've had a lot of experience in sort of different industries as well when it comes to entrepreneurship, because one of your startups actually was a fashion e-commerce platform and became
That's my first.
Yeah, I believe that was a Dressable.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And from what I know, you actually chose to leave Dressable when it was performing, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much at its peak at the time. So what led to that decision, you know, especially in the context of today when so many people, you know, don't really have that choice sometimes?
So I actually founded Dressable back in 2008, which was smack in the middle of, you know, the crisis moment as well. Back then it was the subprime crisis, and we had a period of recession. So I was actually 23 years old only at that point in time. And similarly, I think I saw an opportunity to disrupt the market. And to be honest, back then, I started Dressable as a way of earning just extra pocket money in a time where income and the ability to earn has been restricted in all sense of the word. So that was really the genesis of Dressable. And we started on that with just an idea, my partner and I. And in a very short period of time, actually within the first first year of us launching Dressable, we actually became one of the top, if not the number one blog shop back then, as we were known, you know, in our time in Singapore, out of 50,000 blog shops that were started back in the 2008-2009 era. So while I will forever be grateful for the opportunity to be a part of that, you know, fashion e-commerce wave, because if we trace back, 2008-2009 was a time where the whole concept of technology and startups, it hasn't been a buzzword yet. So it was really the beginning of when the entire startup as well as technology wave started to sweep across Southeast Asia. And I'm so thankful that that has been my, I would say, entry point into this entire technology and startup and entrepreneurship journey. Mm. So back to your question on why I decided to also make an exit and to work on something else. It's really because, as I was sharing earlier, Dressable was started as an idea that captured the opportunity of, you know, people wanting to go for cheaper alternatives of fashion in a time where income and earning power was low. So it was really us capitalizing on the opportunity. I actually ran Dressable for a good 5 years. And towards the end of that five-year journey, while I've learned a lot and picked up a lot of the entrepreneurship rope along the way, I actually started asking myself the question, you know, as an entrepreneur who truly believes in working for a purpose, and as an entrepreneur who believes that if we were to be tapping on our power of creativity, there needs to be an avenue for me to be able to lift up societies and as well as, you know, the list of communities that I believe in lifting up. And I couldn't find, you could say, I couldn't find that that link between what I was doing as my full-time job back then and how I could also be actively contributing to communities and causes that I truly was passionate about. And I think that actually got me starting to think about how I can start channeling my energy, my ideas, and my creativity towards areas where perhaps my strengths and my skill sets could really start creating positive impact for uplifting of communities. So that was the main reason why I decided to take that bold step to start exploring the unknown space again of the new world of technology and startup. And that was 2013.
Right. And, you know, I think for entrepreneurs as well, a lot of them, especially for their first startup, will see it as sort of like their baby, right? And develop a really strong attachment to it. I mean, what was that like for you to walk away from something that you created and invested so much time in?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. I think I've spoken quite candidly about my own experience with mental health as well as depression. And it actually coincided with my last year of running Dressable. So I think you are absolutely spot on to say that there is definitely an attachment, because you build it up from scratch with your bare hands, you know, and you've invested so many hours and sleepless nights into building it up to back then it was quite a formidable business as well. So I think that there was a constant dilemma between, hey, should I carry on? Should I just run this and build a fashion empire? Or should I really listen to my heart and focus on what I felt was the right thing for me to do with my life and my career. So definitely, I think that dilemma was one that was absolutely challenging for me at that age where I was, you know, in my late 20s. But also right now on hindsight, absolutely necessary, because it was through that constant, I would say, dilemma of just do I stay or do I go, that I have been able to hone my decision-making abilities as well.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm really glad that you brought up the topic of mental health. As you mentioned in other interviews, you've been very candid about your experience with depression and with mental health issues in general. And I think that's a conversation that has opened up a lot, especially in the case of the past few months, where most of us have been confined to our homes, and the conversation of mental health, especially as it pertains to running a business and being an entrepreneur. What do you think about that discussion and that conversation that has come up about mental health in the time of COVID-19?
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because mental health has not always been at the forefront of many conversations. So I actually think that this is a period of time where we all do need to take a step back and think about how both individually and collectively, as I was sharing earlier, the world is hurting in varying degrees. And there are so many, you know, personal stories that have been shared at this point in time that, you know, have also really resonated with me and also my team at Fast Job. And I think that right now it's really to exercise that empathy that all of us have at this point. And I think it's really to still see how we can hear these stories and really just provide that listening ear to our friend or that neighbor of ours, or even in Fast Job context, it will be our job, because many of them who have lost their job, or we are talking about, you know, fresh graduates who have entered into an extremely unfriendly hiring climate. So I think that it is no longer just a case of, okay, let me just assess this person based on their skill sets or their technical abilities. But it's also showing that, I would say, the empathy to understand that all of us are going through individual journeys as well as collective journeys. And of course, to then start looking at how each of these individuals are overcoming and learning from this period of time. So I would say empathy.
Yes, for sure. And on that note, we'll take a short break for some messages. But when we come back, I will continue speaking to Joelle Pang of Fast Jobs about what Fast Jobs is and what is her role there. So do stay tuned to Her Vantage on BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Her Vantage. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking to Joelle Pang. She is the General Manager for Malaysia and Regional Business Development Director of Fast Jobs, but she's also, you know, got 12 years of experience in technology startups in sort of the e-commerce and recruitment space, and also even fashion as well. We talked earlier about, you know, her entrepreneurial journey and also her experience with mental health and her thoughts about it in the current climate of COVID-19. But now I'd like to move on to Fast Jobs, which is your current endeavor. Could you give us a brief rundown of what Fast Jobs is all about?
For sure, Christine. Fast Jobs is a job platform for non-executives and blue-collar workers. So in Malaysia's context, we are really referring to the semi-skilled job seekers who are looking for admin, clerical, rank and file, as well as, you know, entry-level office jobs. Also, we are talking about the customer service, sales, as well as call center roles, for to list a few examples. We are also referring to the low-skilled workers, so people who are working on the ground in operational roles, so what we would term as general workers in logistics, manufacturing, warehousing, and so on. So our vision has always been to create equal access to job opportunities for everyone. And I think given what has happened in the past couple of months with the pandemic situation, Fast Job, especially over here in Malaysia, has really been thinking about how we better play out our role as being, you know, the voice and the champion for the B40 job seekers over here in Malaysia. Mm. And just to share as well, having taken on a mobile-first approach where, you know, in Malaysia, where we are seeing 4 smartphones to every laptop or desktop, that has really driven that access to job opportunities. And as of today, we already have close to 1.2 million registered Malaysian job seekers on the Fast Jobs Malaysia platform.
Wow, that's fantastic to hear. Now, just to clarify, you are based in Singapore at the moment, right?
Yes, that's right.
So what is that like to, you know, be based in Singapore, but obviously running Fast Jobs Malaysia? How has that worked out?
So before this MCO period and lockdowns around the world started happening, I was actually based in Malaysia. So definitely, I think just like many other business leaders, as well as business owners, the sudden need for transition came as this abruptly and as surprisingly, I believe, for all other business leaders as well. I think it's really to start thinking about how do we as a team and myself as a leader to still carry on leading the team through this, I would say, uncharted waters in this very challenging time, and to emerge from this on the other side successfully and effectively. So for that, I think it was really a lot of coming back to the drawing board and thinking about what are the values that the corporate values, I would say, that we live out at Fast Jobs Malaysia. And it's really very much on the focus on people, accountability in everything that we do, strength in unity because we are stronger together, and also to have trust between our peers, in our leaders, and in our people. So we have already set a very strong foundation even before this MCO and pandemic situation happened. I would say that during the actual, you know, lockdown, and to be honest, I haven't seen my team in person for 4 months now. So if you told me this at the start of the year that this is going to happen, I probably will be telling you like, wow, I don't think we're going to be able to get through this. But right now in present day, I would say that the biggest change, you know, or rather the biggest transition that I had to take for myself was that, you know, to put trust, to flip the equation and to put the trust in our people or trust in my teammates in this case, and bring it to the forefront. For example, one of my teammates actually shared with me that, you know, what he personally found to be the most effective during this period of time was that, you know, I was more than happy and willing to start delegating leadership roles and positions in special projects and task force to teammates who may not necessarily have been in leadership positions in our company. And I think through that, I've seen how different members of the team started stepping out, started showing real, like, I'll say true accountability and effectiveness in the work that they do. And because of this, I think different individuals starting to step up and coming together, I would say that what we really hope to see, which is the strength in unity and coming out stronger together because we've gone through this challenging journey, is actually what we are noticing right now in our current workspace. So yes, I think very much on as of today, I would say that the team has grown actually stronger and more able to work together, even though we are physically more distant from each other.
I find that so fascinating because I think a lot of discussion around the issue of remote leadership nowadays, it boils down to some still very important, but often talked about components. It's things like conversations and being honest and having those communication skills in place. But what you've also done is you've actually allowed other people to step into leadership roles and to sort of pass on the leadership responsibilities to your team, which I think is also very fascinating. I think also, as you mentioned, reflects a large amount of trust in the team, both from you and also from the team as well, to trust themselves to step up, I suppose. Just going back a little bit to you and your career, why did you decide to become the GM for Fast Jobs Malaysia when you were previously kind of doing your own thing?
So I actually came to this understanding, you know, a lot of people think that entrepreneurship is about doing your own thing, being your own boss or running your own setup. So for me, I would say that after 10 over years of being an entrepreneur, even though right now I am working for Fast Jobs as the general manager for Malaysia, I still see myself as an entrepreneur more than ever, simply because I've had to constantly stay innovative even when resources are stretched really thin. And I still feel like I am creating and starting something from scratch every single day and taking on hundreds of challenges every single day as well. And I actually feel that that is what has been exciting me. And similarly as well, if I were to look at what has been the vision for my life and therefore my career, it has really been very much on how do I take a step towards the problem that I want to solve. And I believe I've shared this several times as well, that I have always just hoped to play a part in solving the problem of inequality, because I do hope to see us living in a more equal world in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And Fast Jobs has been a very natural and organic transition for me because of the vision of what Fast Jobs aims to do, which is really to create equal access to job opportunities for everyone. And, you know, the group of job seekers that we represent and that we champion are the B40 workers over here in Malaysia. And I think that nothing has provided more accomplishment or fulfillment, if you can say, just to see that we are playing such a critical role now in a time where unemployment rates are soaring across not just Malaysia, but across the world, right? That I am able to play a part in running a platform or to be the champion of a platform that consistently looks at how do we help this group of people who have lost their jobs to go back into meaningful and gainful employment in such a challenging period of time. And I actually feel that this has actually turned out to be, if you can call it, the pivot of a lifetime for me, really just understanding how I could connect my skill sets and my talents to be able to contribute towards a cause and a community of job seekers that I believe so strongly in.
Right. And my final question for you, Joelle, is for anyone, be they an entrepreneur, a job seeker, someone who's struggling with mental health issues, someone who feels a bit down and out with the situation of the world nowadays, you seem to be someone who has become very resilient and very versatile in how she deals with obstacles. So what words of advice would you have for people who feel a little bit down or feel that they may be held back in some way by current circumstances?
Thanks so much for that, Christine. So I would actually really just like to encourage everyone who may be feeling like they are currently in one of the worst experiences or situations of their lifetime. And really just get, I just want to encourage everyone by saying that this is really just a pit stop. It is not a destination. And just like how quickly the pandemic and everything started almost like collapsing down, I truly believe that this is also a pit stop, and soon we will be transiting out of this pit stop. And I would say that during this period of time, it is really to start thinking about, what you can do as well to keep putting one foot ahead of the other. So I think what has been really, really encouraging for me to see, just like back in 2008 during the subprime crisis, we have seen how a lot of fashion e-commerce entrepreneurs started coming up with this blog shop and selling clothes by way of blogs. I am actually starting to see how in 2020 there are quite a lot of, I would say, job seekers as well who have lost their jobs who are now stepping up to take on micro gigs as well as to start off on their own ventures as well. So, Christine, I'm sure that you have started seeing a lot the emergence of home bakers as well, people who have just started thinking about, hey, what it is that I can do with this extra time and what it is that I can do with I currently have right now to just make the best out of it. And yeah, I think it first starts with realizing that this is also a pit stop and this experience too shall pass.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Joelle, for speaking to me today on Her Vantage.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm Christine Wong. You've been listening to Her Vantage on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.